All right, Daniel chapter 9, verse 24. Daniel 9:24. Now, we started last week on this, and I want to go a little bit more into it, obviously. Daniel 9:24, 70 weeks are determined for your people and for your holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublesome times. And after the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. That's really not a great translation there, but we'll get to that. And the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end of it shall be with a flood, and till the end of the war desolations are determined. Then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week, but in the middle of the week he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering. And on the wing of abomination shall be one who makes desolate, even until the consummation which is determined is poured out on the desolate. Let's pray. Lord, we do admit that we are very much babes when it comes to all of your word and understanding all of it. Lord, you have said that we really are babes. And Lord Jesus, you thank the Father that you revealed these things not to the wise and the prudent, but unto babes. And admitting that, Lord, we pray for insight that we might know these things to your glory, not for pride. We know, Lord, how many people think on these things for a few minutes or a few days or a few weeks or months even, write books and become proud, believing they know things which it seems they know nothing. So we pray, Lord, for not just understanding but application of your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I think the first thing we have to do when we consider a prophecy like this is to recognize that this comes to us because of the loving kindness and mercy of God. He's giving this prophecy to who? I mean, there's been 70 years of judgment because Israel, from way back, neglected the Sabbath years that God prescribed for the country. And so for those 490 years, going all the way back to the time of Eli, Israel did not keep the Sabbath years. And as a result of that, God said and prophesied that if they would not keep his Sabbath years, meaning 1 year out of seven, the land rested, then he would get it back another way. And the other way was to send the people away from the land so that they got the 70 years they neglected over the 490 for the Sabbath years. And so that's what happened. And when Jeremiah wrote that 70 years would be accomplished, and Daniel noted that in the beginning of this chapter 9, that the 70 years was up, then it was time for the Lord to give another prophecy. And what he does here is surprising, because what we would expect, being who we are, is that he would just be done with them. And you may remember how many times in the wilderness the Lord spoke that way, mainly to test Moses. I'm done with these people. Get away and let me make of you a nation. And Moses would step in. That was more a test for Moses, not something the Lord was going to do. But the point of that was that there were many reasons for the Lord to give up on Israel. It was to be expected. Anybody would. And when you look at Israel's pride, Israel was proud in the midst of their sinfulness. Just like our nation today, filled with pride, and we make Israel look like righteous people in contrast. And yet there's a great amount of pride. And so when the 70 years was up and Daniel began to pray, and God said, I'm going to restore Jerusalem, and he still uses this 70. Instead of 70 years, it's now 70 weeks of years. And notice in verse 24, he's going to do all of these things in that time. It's 70 weeks are determined for your people and for your holy city. Now, first, I get a little bit, I understand why people do this. But you'll often hear this. Notice here, they say, nothing is mentioned at all about anyone but Israel, not the church. This is just for Israel. Well, of course they wouldn't mention the church of the New Testament. Back here in Daniel, that's pushing dispensationalism as hard as you can so you can keep the church and Israel separate. I just don't think that's necessary here. That certainly would not be read into the text as it was given originally. So this is for not just Israel. Since when is Jesus just for Israel? This is for the people of Israel and for your holy city, but salvation came from them to all the world. Here's what's going to happen. To finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity. Those first three are about sin. God is going to deal with sin in these 70 weeks. He's going to end it. Finish the transgression, make an end of sins, make a reconciliation or atonement for iniquity. And then, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy, some say the most holy place. So, the last three then, God is going to bring righteousness. He's going to, in the first three, deal with sin. In the last three, bring in righteousness. So it says to make reconciliation for iniquity. That's the last of the sin things. And then bring in everlasting righteousness. Seal up vision and prophecy. That has to do with completing what was foretold. And to anoint the most holy, or the most holy place. Some will say the most holy place, meaning the temple in the millennium. Some say, it's more of bringing in Christ, the most holy, and to present him to the world. So those things will happen. Now we know that happened. That part happened. We know, and you could also, I'll just lay this out because many see a matching in this way, that the first phrase and the fourth go together in a way, for to finish the transgressions, to bring in everlasting righteousness. And the second and the fifth, to make an end of sins, to seal up vision and prophecy. And then 3 and 6, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to anoint the most holy. Doesn't help a lot, but that is a little bit of a comparison that could be made. So, then there are times set. Now, the fact that these things are accomplished, I don't think verse 24 is very hard to understand. Who did this? Who has it said that He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him? That's said of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ deals with sin. He said when He's dying on the cross, as He dismissed His spirit, it is finished. The veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, meaning that the pathway to God had been opened up. So right there in that act on the cross, it is finished. Sin. Righteousness is imputed. The veil of the temple is torn open and access to God is granted. That right there is sin and righteousness. So there's, I don't think, any question that this refers to Jesus. Now, as I said, some will make that it refers beyond the life of Jesus to the end of all prophecy. I'm not going to have a real problem with that. It's just that we have to recognize that this prophecy gets to Christ, and it's about Christ. Now, verse 25. Know, therefore, and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall even in troublesome times. I am assuming here that if you give a 70 as a total and then you divide it up as 7, 62, and 1, there's some reason for doing that. Because, I mean, why would you do it? It is by itself divided up into three. That doesn't mean just because it did that they're separated anyway. These 70 weeks do not have to run together. They do not have to be separated. There's just nothing about that in the text. It just says 70 weeks are determined. So it is divided up in time. Now, most people, there will be some who don't, but most people recognize that we're dealing with weeks of years. There's a number of reasons you would do that, just from the fact that none of the things happen in literal weeks. 70 weeks would be still over a year. All these things didn't happen in that time. But if you take them into 70 weeks of years, you got 490 years, and depending on when the decree went forth, you're up to the time of Christ with that amount of time. So that's taken pretty much just from the fact that it's 70 sevens, literally, and the fact that, you know, hindsight is 20/20. We look back on it, we can tell more now what happened looking back than we could even looking ahead. So there are three divisions. And the three divisions are mentioned in the text after this. And it's kind of identifies a little bit. The first seven seems to be connected to the building and restoration of Jerusalem. You remember that? Nehemiah, Ezra, the temple, the walls. Jerusalem was rebuilt. We're told chronologically around 444 B.C., Nehemiah completed his work with the walls of the city of Jerusalem. They began to live there again. So whenever the decree went forth, within that time frame, from the time the decree went forth, during that 49 years of seven weeks of 7 years, the temple, the city was restored. As it says in verse 25, the street shall be built again and the wall even in troublesome times. Now we know from Nehemiah and Ezra that these were troublesome times. There was opposition. People volunteered to help who just wanted to tear down the work. There was a halt to the work for some years. There was opposition till another king would come in and start it back up. It took a while to do. But in the end, it was successfully completed. And so this was fulfilled in the rebuilding process. Then verse 26 speaks more about the 62 weeks. After the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off. And really, and have nothing is what most translations say besides the KJV, New King James, you know, coalition. Messiah shall be cut off and have nothing. And I'm told that that means in the Hebrew significance of that is that he does not leave another ruler after him. He doesn't have a son to take over. His kingship is ended. In other words, it means he died, basically. He's cut off. He died after the 62 weeks. Now, I am certainly not gone back as this man did and count the days and come to when this ended. But if it's contiguous from the beginning of the of the decree to rebuild, and MacArthur says that is in 445 B.C., I just do not know. I did some calculations. If you figure in years between now and then, it comes out about right. Of course, MacArthur says it's got to be exact, and I understand that. But some man did make some calculations of the actual days in the prophecy and came to the very time when Jesus was presenting himself to Jerusalem as the king, the triumphal entry. And it says after that, he's cut off, which happened. But once you get to the 62 weeks, after the 62 weeks, verse 26 says, Messiah is cut off. Now, and there are things that are said here after the 62 weeks in verse 26. Notice what it says. Messiah is cut off. And the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end of it shall be with a flood, until the end of the war, desolations are determined. That also happened. But note here, you've got 69 weeks done, and then after that, these things happen. Messiah is cut off and has nothing, and the people of the prince who is to come destroys the city and the sanctuary. So there's a destruction of Jerusalem. That happened in 70 AD. Let's do some math here. Let's say at the most conservative estimate, which would make Jesus to have died in 33 AD. 29 is probably more accurate. But let's just say it's 33. We know the Temple of Jerusalem fell to Titus, who later would become emperor of Rome. It fell in 70 AD. Now, if you take 70 and subtract 33, the most conservative, and you got 37 years, the last week would not encompass that. Now, some say that, well, you got 69 weeks, which would take you to Jesus's. Say this Anderson guy is correct. And he presents himself as king in Jerusalem, the triumphal entry, at the very end of that. And after these things, this takes place. Some would say you got it going literal to that point. Some would even count 70 sevens to that point. You got it literal to that point, and then it kind of goes spiritual. So the last week is, some say, a few thousand years long, which is really inconsistent to the prophecy if 70 weeks has been literal through 69. But it says in the text, after 62 weeks, which makes 69 total, Messiah is cut off, the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. That's beyond the scope of the 69 weeks. It's outside the scope of 70 weeks. If you take 70 from the beginning and run it contiguous all the way through, you're outside the area. It's just saying after 69 weeks, these things are happening. after. The next division is mentioned in verse 27. Then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. And there's your last one. So back to the math. 7 to the building process. 62 then to Messiah is cut off. And then these things happen. He's cut off. And then the city is destroyed in the sanctuary. And this happened in 70 AD. It was pushed down. Some say that Titus agreed not to have the temple destroyed. Others say he intended for it to be destroyed. Israel was very rebellious against Rome. And so it was ordered by Nero originally that they would go take it back. Nero died 68, I believe. And then there was a little bit of a jockeying for position, who would be the next emperor. Finally, when that was settled, I think it was Titus's father who became emperor, and Titus finished the job in 70. Titus himself became emperor in 79 AD and died 2.5 years later. Some say at the hands of his brother, but not clear on that. So anyway, there's 669. Now, when we study this, and I don't want you to be confused, I really do not. When we study this, the difficulty comes. I think, again, verse 24 is not hard. That is Jesus dying on the cross, rising from the dead, paying the penalty of sin, meeting all the demands of righteousness. However it plays out in the future, that is the fulfillment of this prophecy. The death and resurrection of Jesus for sin and righteousness. That's the center of here of this. The other part is some say the 70 weeks have to go to the first century and be fulfilled then. Matthew Henry, for example, says he believes that the edict was the one of Cyrus, which would have been about 538 or 536, right in there, B.C., and that the 70 weeks ended then at, you know, with Jesus at the cross and such. But that, of course, if you go 536 and add 490, you don't get even to zero. And he said that was just because of the fact that probably the years have been miscalculated, which is certainly possible. We laugh at these scientists who say this rock was 1 billion years old. We wonder if there was a calendar with it when they found it. And we know they're just guessing. So it's possible. But a lot of that has to do with not trying to be too tight with the dates. But the general consensus of many is that there are three possibilities, basically, and all of them in his mind have to end at the time of Christ. And so when we get to verse 27, this comes to matter here. Let's see what it says. And he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week, but in the middle of the week he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering, and on the wing of abomination shall be one who makes desolate, even until the consummation which is determined is poured out on the desolate. There's a lot in that. The first, we're not 2 words into this thing, into verse 27, until we have a disagreement. Then, what does it say? He. Who is he? Some say he refers to Christ. Going back to the first part of verse 26, and after the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. In verse 27, then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week, referring to Christ. The other group says he refers back to the prince who is to come. Also in verse 26, after the mention of the Messiah, and the people of the prince who is to come, verse 27, then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week, meaning the prince who is to come. So those are the two possibilities as I see it for that. He refers to Christ, or he refers to the prince who is to come, and we would identify him as the Antichrist. So it's either Christ or the Antichrist. He, and that's about as different as you can get in it. It's either Jesus or anti-Jesus. It's either Christ or Antichrist. That's where it runs. And if it's Christ, it means that Christ makes a firm covenant, as some say, with many for 1 week, 7 years. But in the middle of the week, he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering. And this is the way that is taken if you believe it's Christ. I don't know exactly what is meant by the firm covenant that he makes with many for 1 week. If he's referring to the new covenant, it's certainly not for 1 week, unless he's talking about it just being fulfilled during that time. But let's say it's the new covenant. He makes that covenant, but in the middle of it, he makes sacrifice and offering to cease, meaning that he does that by his death on the cross. And Hebrews points out that with the death of Jesus, there is no more sacrifice and offering. And all of that we agree with, no matter whether we take this position or not. And again, I believe any system that believes that the temple will someday come back, Ezekiel's temple will come back, and there will be sacrifices that are approved by God, I think that is the most outrageous, wrong thing to say that you could say about this. Why would it ever be God's will to sacrifice animals again after Jesus has been crucified? It just makes absolutely no sense. The only reason you would say that is because you've got to work something in there that's part of your system, and you got to work it in there. I would discard that with the greatest zeal if I were you and ran across any of that. But somebody would probably explain it to me and try to make it make sense. But I don't ever get to get that. He would bring an end to sacrifice and offering by his death then, if it's Jesus. If it's not Jesus, and it's the Antichrist, then the thought is he makes a covenant for 7 years and then breaks the covenant in the middle, 3.5. And after that, then, there is this, on the wing of abomination shall be one who makes desolate even until the consummation which is determined is poured out on the desolate. The one who makes desolate, the son of perdition, is Antichrist. So, again, all that seems to me, you know, the way I take this, is that this one doesn't refer to Jesus making a covenant. It refers to the Antichrist making a covenant. Because it all works together. The one who makes desolate, the abominations. We're told in Thessalonians that the Antichrist makes himself out to be God, sitting in the temple as God to be worshipped. We know of all the significance of 3.5 that's in Revelation. Revelation was written, we believe, toward the end of the first century after the temple was destroyed, and 1260 days, 42 months, 3.5 years, all these things refer to halves of seven, the middle of the week. And it seems like, as we've often noted, tribulation, true tribulation, takes part during the last 7 years and the latter 3.5 years, not the first 3.5. It's also interesting, verse 26 says, and the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. We know who destroyed the city and the sanctuary. The Roman army. So the Roman army destroyed the city and the sanctuary. Now the Romans were, I mean, there was quite a variety of people within the Roman Empire. But it was the Roman Empire. So I don't know how specific we can make it as to where the Antichrist comes from. That's a different area. Not greatly important. But he does say here that the people of the prince who is to come is the Antichrist. No matter how you take the he of verse 27, I think. The people will destroy the temple. The prince who is to come is still to come. But the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end of it shall be with a flood. And to the end of the war, desolation is determined. Then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. And again, there you've got to decide. You've got to make a decision here. Whether you think that more consistently matches what Christ did, ending the sacrificial system 3.5 years into the last week of Daniel's 70th week by his death, or whether it refers to another time. Now, another reason why I'm separating it out a little bit, the 70th week, and remember that the divisions are made by the text itself, but another reason I'm doing that is because just in the normal flow of the prophecy, it says after 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, the city is destroyed, and then this last week comes up. So that would place it after all of that. Now, it's a little bit uncomfortable because it's not the most natural way to view the 70 weeks. But the text itself divides them up in that way, and the way the text is worded makes me lean to the fact that in Revelation we're dealing with the last week as still to come, rather than, as some say, has already come. That's where you get a lot of division. And if the Lord wanted to make it clear, don't you think he could have? I don't believe he wants us to divide over things like this. But it is an interesting situation. Now, we know that it happened, that the city was rebuilt. We know that it happened that Jesus was cut off. We know that it happened that the city was destroyed. We know that wars continued on. It was a very turbulent time. And then we don't know what this covenant is. I was thinking, if Jesus made a covenant with many for 1 week, does that flow in with it being the new covenant? That's what you have to consider. And why would he make it for a week if he's going to cut it off in the middle? I don't understand that part either if you take that he is Christ. We'll get some discussion in a moment if you have questions or comments. So, we also know from Revelation, and we know from Thessalonians, that when the Antichrist comes, he brings abominations and desolation until the consummation. We're told in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 that Jesus destroys him at his second coming and brings judgment upon the earth. Now, this is a very specific and dated prophecy. It's you got numbers given to it. The Lord is encouraging his people with actual numbers. And just like when we were kids and we were looking forward to something and our parents would say, it's coming just in 2 weeks. 2 weeks and Christmas will be here. And we're excited. As opposed to Christmas is coming someday. The 70 weeks of years gave Israel, I think, an expectation around the time when Jesus came. And an understanding, especially looking back, but even looking forward, of the fact that Jesus was the Messiah. Now, Israel today is still looking for the Messiah. But I think in verse 24 of Daniel 9, all of that certainly refers to Jesus. That's been done. the outworkings, you know, after that, you know, the church, the New Testament church is brought in, the all that dealings with Israel we see in, you know, Romans 9 through 11, whatever that is, in Revelation. And there are certainly, I'm not trying to minimize any of the disagreements people have, but we have got to anchor into verse 24 as the absolute central core. That's the juicy spot. Beyond that, I think it's just giving some definite dates and times to Israel because of the fact that this was encouraging to them that God was working on 70 weeks of years to undo all the sin and unrighteousness that they had just faced the penalty of and the judgment for in the 70 years of captivity. So that's my take on Daniel's 70 weeks. And I'm going to guess you might have some comments.
Yeah,